It is good to be here this morning. It is a gorgeous morning. Almost didn't want to come in and stop the nice music. It was also very, very a good blessing to listen to such praises to God. So thank you all for coming. And if there are any visitors here, a most hearty welcome to you. I'd also like to greet you with the words that we find in Philippians 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know it is only through his grace that we are here this beautiful morning. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning with thankful hearts. We live in a land of many opportunities and blessings, as we can see, even as we drive around and we see the things blooming and growing so well. We pray for the people around the world who live in persecution for their faith. Pray especially for the Russia and Ukraine situation, which has been going on for months now, and we just pray that your will be done, and that people will, and we hear they do, that they will come to you for their salvation, but also ask you to encourage them and the believers in this area and give them courage and just confidence to stay with you and go on with you. Give them peace and patience even in these times and in their souls. We also pray for the widows and widowers in our midst, families who have recently lost loved ones, and also the people in the care homes and the hospitals who sometimes feel somewhat isolated. Encourage them as well, and let them know that your loving arms surround them, even in those places. And we again pray for leadership, whether it's in church, local government, or world government, that the people you have called to serve in those capacities, that they will look to you in humility, they will look to you for guidance, they will look to you for truth, and then we ask that they will have the courage to act in a way that you can bless them. And we thank you that you are here with us in the sanctuary this morning, because you promise that where even two or three are gathered together, you are there. So we thank you for being with us. Give us joy in serving you with clean hearts. And we pray that you bless your word this morning. In Jesus' holy name, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen. And now we will have some songs.
In the blue hymnal, number 459, Stepping in the Light. I invite you to stand.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and to him who is leading when we are tempted to turn from the way, trusting the arms that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward still upward will follow our guide. And we shall see him, the King, in his beauty. Happy, how happy our place at his side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. To walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Number 469, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Marvelous grace, God's grace, grace that pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can I will to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Number 289, Blessed Assurance.
Let's see. assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I in my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
As I was preparing for today, thinking about kind of what the heading might be, one of the things that happened to us this week, we went to a concert in Winkler, and part of the service there reminded us to be thankful, and I thought that would be a very good heading for today. And then it's like God works in such beautiful ways. So what do we be thankful for? The middle song, we sang grace that is greater than all our sins, that we can be so thankful for. And then we have the assurance that He's with us, and then we can have this song as well of praising God. So it's interesting how God works. And even this morning as I was driving and thinking about the service, when I started out from home, it was quite cloudy and dark and even quite foggy. So for a little while, I'm driving in this fog. And then there's the light comes and it's brighter. And I says, well, that's kind of a good example. We talk often coming from the darkness into the light. That's what that we can be thankful for. And I'm driving in the light and I'm thinking, well, and then that's a good message. And then I looked in the mirror and then it's dark. And I think it gives us reason to always look towards the light and not to fall back into where we were. Don't fall back into the darkness. Let our story be of the light that we're in and the salvation that God has given us and the thankfulness that we can have and that we do have. So And then even when we were in the Stefia, and usually we have a prayer together, and Jake's prayer was about Thanksgiving. So I think we're on the right track today. So then what can we easily think of that we should be thankful for? I thought of some examples as I was preparing. We think of our homes, our work, at least most of us, our health, our families, and the country we get to live in. And our homes themselves, we don't have to worry about a missile strike or a hurricane coming to destroy them. This year, maybe we might worry about a tree or two falling on them, but more or less, we can be very thankful. Our homes are safe. And in our homes, we have all these things. We have furniture, we have cabinetry, we have appliances and all kinds of things that take care of things. We have electronic devices, you know, cell phones and different things that we can take care of and we can use. And where did all that come from? When we think of the wooden things that are built, they come from the trees that God caused to grow. When he created earth, already back then, God knew there would be needs and uses that people would have, and he already had plans for these things, and he made it possible. And then we don't think, at least I don't often think about it, now we've had the equipment to actually to shape and build and maybe even preserve the lumber and to create these things out of what God has given us. And are we thankful for the knowledge that goes into these things, the factories to make the fabric for the cushions and the mattresses and all those kinds of things? Things we can be thankful for that we just kind of often, at least myself, I just kind of take for granted. Even the metals in the ground, the ore that's in the ground, they were dug up and they were processed, they were purified and they were shaped into something that we could use. And all those skills came from God. We can be thankful for that. Science has discovered the laws of physics and electricity and hydraulic pressures and all those things. If we're working in a forklift or with trucks, we kind of know that that's a very good thing. We don't have to shovel everything by hand and those kind of things, and we don't have to lift it by hand. And I said the computers and the handheld devices, they allow us to access information and communicate globally. If we have family in Belize or we have a friend that's working in a mission in Taiwan or whatever, we can communicate. Or in Bolivia, those kind of things. All these things that we kind of use and think and maybe take for granted. Those are things God has created for us to use and has given us the opportunity to use. And then if we, at our workplaces, in many places, think of myself, when I used to work at things, I had pen and paper, had to write everything down. Now we have integrated inventory systems and sales programs, and there's so much of the work is done by things that have been figured out. We have computerized parts catalogs, and someone comes in and says, oh, well, I need a part for that 1953 International I'm working on, and probably someone can find it. We have robotic welders and cutters and those kind of things that we can work on. Many of us have been fortunate to work in temperature-controlled buildings. And we have laws around working conditions and safety. So those are things that work. How about our health? Not many people die of polio, chickenpox, or measles anymore, at least not in Canada. Dietitians and fitness coaches can keep us in good health if we listen to them. Doctors in the physical and mental health fields can help us cope with life. Are we thankful for them? Are we thankful for our families, our spouses? Are we thankful for our forefathers that left a legacy for us of a Christian upbringing, at least for most of us? I think that we could say that we've had that and it's a blessing. And when I go back and I think of Ukraine and I think of that part of the world where some of our forefathers came from, I'm so thankful that my great-grandparents came to Canada and I'm not still located in Ukraine and maybe having to deal with those people there. So I'm thankful that I've been able to come. And are we then thankful for the country we live in? We often claim we live in the best country in the world. And are we truly thankful for the freedoms and the prosperity we enjoy? Or, like many of us, do we mutter and complain about things? So when I think of that in our country, when I think about living in the Ukraine right now, or imagine being a Christian in China, India, Iran, or Iraq, or one of those countries in this time. Are we thankful? Am I thankful? And I've just noted some that we can think about and often take for granted. But is there something else that we might take too lightly as well? What about our spiritual condition? Are we actually truly thankful to God for the gift of salvation bought for us at the expense of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us? We like John 3:16, and we quote it fairly often, and we'll read it again today. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we read that, and we like it, and we take it to heart. But what does it look like in our lives? Maybe especially in a situation that maybe isn't great. And I'd like to look at one of those situations in the Bible. Two men who were in a situation we would say probably weren't that great, but their message was great, and they were thankful in a situation many of us would say, well, dit je nisaya shine, konihan. And that's in Acts chapter 16. Starting verse 23. And this is Paul and Silas are the main characters in here. And they have been preaching, and they have the people, some of the people in the town they were in didn't like it. So they, as the story goes, the people rose up against them, and the magistrates of their time had them beaten. And in verse 23, it says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, which means they had beaten them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So this is the setting for Paul and Silas. They have been doing God's work, but now they end up in prison. And then the prison jailer, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So when I imagine that, it's probably where the worst criminals were. Like you might, you know, a little pickpocket you may throw in a front room, but the real hardened criminals you put in the back, and you put them in and locked them up in those stocks. And I've seen it sometimes in, you know, where you've got these wooden things that you're clamped your feet down and your arms maybe even, and you can't scratch your nose or anything because you're best false you milked. So here they are, beat up, in prison. And then how did they respond to a situation? And it says at midnight, and I don't know when they had been put in, but it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And probably many of us would pray. I think I would have probably been praying for something too. But then the interesting thing is, it says, and they sang praises unto God. They're in this prison, having served God, and they've been beat, and they're in here, and they're praising God. They're thanking God. And it says, and the other prisoners heard them. They weren't quiet about it. They were praising God and others. They were being a witness to people. They were thankful. They were, and people could hear it. And then suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So imagine in that first couple of seconds, and you have an earthquake, and I've never lived through one. Maybe some of you had. I know some friends of mine who were truckers, they said they've experienced that, and it's quite interesting. I'll use that word. There probably would have been some fear and maybe some more prayers of a different sort. But then it opens the doors, and it takes the bands off the people. And then the jailer, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So now the jailer wakes up. He also sees the open doors, and he suspects, well, your bands are released, you're going to take off. And from what I understand from their system, if you were the jailer and you had an escapee, then you paid with your life. And probably maybe he got beaten first too. So he says, oh, instead of going through all that, I'm going to kill myself. That's his response. But then what does Paul do in verse 28? But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, some of us, maybe myself, I would have been sitting in that prison, and I see this jailer wants to hurt himself. I may have just been quiet and deserves it. But what does Paul do? He's been thankful to God. He's been praying and singing praises. And what does he do? He offers grace to this man. He says, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. He has love for him. His thankfulness for his salvation, he offers it to the next man, the one that has kept him and put him in these stocks. So then this man calls for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So he knows this is something is going on. And he will probably also have heard of some of the singing that Paul and Silas did, and he will have known why they were there and maybe even the reason that they were imprisoned in the first place. So because of the witness and because of these things that have happened, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Their witness had an impact. And what do they tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. They offer him salvation, not only for himself, and also for his family. And then they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And so then they explained what this means. They now had a very interested audience, this man and his family, and he explained it. I remember, this isn't in my notes, but I remember when I was a teenager, there was used to be at one time there came this Jesus movement or Jesus freaks, and a lot of guys kind of says, oh, they're going to become Christians, and they changed their life for about 2-3 weeks, and then they fell back into their old lifestyle because they hadn't really had a follow-up to explain when you accept Jesus, then there's other things that need to happen. So here too, this man says, I know I need something. So then Paul and Silas explained it to him. Sometimes when we have the opportunity and someone has a question, we can do that as well. Someone is excited about coming to Jesus, then we're given the opportunity to say, well, this is what that means. This is really what you can be thankful for and what that will do for you and what maybe your responsibility is to that. But that's, they spoke unto him, and what happened, he took them to his house, he washed their stripes, now he's serving them, and he was baptized, he and all his, it says, at his family, straight away. We won't always maybe see a response that quickly, but here Paul and Silas could see it, but we see the whole thing that goes. You serve God, you witness for him, you praise God, people listen, and then some of them will come to the Lord, and maybe you have an opportunity to lead them, be with them when they meet Jesus. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He rejoiced. He was thankful. Are we thankful? And we have so much to be thankful for, as we've just gone through. So then if we're thankful, does that translate into something else? And a verse that I like very, I use often, and I like because it really brings to mind and brings to home to us what that should then mean. And it's in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I believe the writer is also Paul, but he says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, Paul knows what he's talking about. He says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy. When he was in front of this crowd and he was in front of the pagan rulers, he didn't change his story, he didn't change his message, and he went willingly. He says, and then you're acceptable to God. And then he says, and that's what would be expected of us. We don't need necessarily, or shouldn't necessarily expect some kind of award or a pat on the back, because this is what should just come naturally. Because, he says, be not conformed to this world, to our society, whatever society we're in, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in here too, when we think of the prison story, Paul and Silas could have been grumbling about what was happening and how unfair it was and all the rest of it. He says, no, don't go that way. Be ye transformed. So here they're sitting in the prison, beat up in stocks, and they're praising God. Now that is not normal. That is supernatural. That's God's spirit in them. And he says, and that's what we can be. We can be these supernatural people. We can have new minds that we may prove, that we may be examples of that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our witness or our response to situations in our lives can also have a profound effect on other people. Like it says, all the other prisoners are listening. It doesn't say all of them came to God. The jailer did and his family, but all of them got them, all the other prisoners also got the Christian message. So they also had an opportunity to be transformed. So then, as transformed people, what do we look like? We are not sitting in prison today. But what does Peter, the Apostle Peter, talk about when he talks about transformed people? 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25 says this, for even hereunto were ye called. And he's talking maybe about suffering and trials and all those things. But he says, but even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And that's what Paul and Silas were doing. They were trying to follow Jesus' example of having love for their persecutors. And the example they were trying to follow is, in verse 22, is who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So when Jesus was accused of things, he didn't get into arguments. When there was something about that they wanted to take untruth about him, he did not retaliate to hurt people. Like it says in verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And we think of that often when we think of the Easter story. But committed himself to him that judgeth rightly. Are we humble enough to submit ourselves to that same Father God and say, it's not a great situation, but I can still praise you. I am so thankful for the grace you have given me, the salvation that you have provided for me. I can be thankful in all things. Because of what Christ did, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, being transformed, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So it's all through Jesus Christ. For ye were as sheep, or we were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So if we are close to God, like Paul and Silas were, we too will find situations where we can praise God and do all the things that we're asked to do through his spirit in us. Matthew 5, verses 43 and on, talks about some of that transformation. And there's some things earlier than that, but we'll start with just verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. So he says, that's kind of the norm. Now we're talking about that transformed mind. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And we know it's possible. Jesus did it on the cross. Paul and Silas didn't in the prison. Stephen did it as rocks were falling on him as he was being killed. He says, we can do that with a transformed mind, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the unjust, on the just and the unjust. And then he asks this question, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans so? So now we're just like everybody else. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? And he says, but be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye transformed, thankful for the grace of salvation, and then we spread it to people to invite them in by how we act, how we talk, sometimes how we don't talk. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 are the last ones I want to read this morning here. And again, this is the Apostle Paul, and we read about him, how what he's all experienced, and sometimes he talks about it. And even here he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not perfect. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let's be clear, our works do not save us, or they do not earn us our salvation, but they do, however, reflect the change that salvation has brought about in our lives. We strive, we want to be like Jesus, and we do this out of thanksgiving to him for his awesome gift to us. Then we can be the salt and the light in the world that he calls us to be. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all your gifts to us, the things day to day, the things in our spiritual realm where you keep Satan away from us when we pray for protection. When we pray in sincerity for purity, you are with us. When we pray for strength, you give us. When we pray for courage, you're there. When we pray for comfort, you are there. Thank you for all these things. Help us to remember to be thankful to you for these and all things that you give us. The things we see and sometimes don't see until later. We just thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. And we know we can pray anywhere and at any time, but let's take the opportunity now to go on our knees for silent prayer, to ask God for anything that's on our hearts, but also to thank him for all the blessings he has already bestowed upon us. So if you're physically able, please kneel with me for silent prayer. Thank you, Father God, for loving us and hearing our prayers and accepting us as your children. I think we have some announcements.
Good morning. I just want to invite you all for a chicken barbecue lunch at Cleveland Park today. It's a church picnic, so you're all welcome to come there. And then today's collection goes for the local collection. And also a reminder for next Saturday, July 23rd, Edward Clausen will be here. He will bring a message and he will play his harp, this Paraguayan harp. You have it in your bulletin, so you're all invited for that evening as well. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you for that announcements, or those announcements, Brother Jake. It is nice to have fellowship in the pews. It's also nice to have fellowship sometimes outside in different places, and we get to see each other maybe in a little bit of different light. But always, as a part of the family of God, and it's so interesting where we can go anywhere and meet total strangers, and somehow the Lord will kind of touch our hearts, and we'll start a conversation sometimes with someone, and we can just share our love of God with someone that we have never seen before, and we're family. And we can be so thankful for that. And as I said this morning coming in, and even as the speakers and some of the songs, it was just such a blessing to bring forward to we'll come to see Jesus, and we have the story, and we have these beautiful gifts that he gives us that we can share with others. And I just pray that we can keep that in mind and go forth with thankful hearts to praise God and in doing that, to bring other people into this beautiful family of God. So for today, I have no more to bring other than to thank you for coming, for singing and listening. Thank you for your support. And let's close with the benediction we find in Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And so go in peace with the Lord.